Hello. There we go. How are you this morning?
Good.
Well, welcome to Play School Sunday. It is so nice to see all the parents not rushing, dropping kids off. It's good to see you in church this morning. My name is Alyssa. I work here at Cook's Church. I also am a Play School parent. We extend a warm welcome to all of you. If you are a visitor and would like more information on Cook's Church, please see one of our ushers before you leave. We have a special note for our beautiful flowers this morning. Praise God for every beautiful note you played, life you changed, and smile you created. Happy heavenly birthday to our sweet mom, grandma, and great-grandma. Love, Sandy, Matt, grandchildren, and great-grands. All right, today is the last day to order your Easter lilies. Easter lilies will be up here all over. I haven't been here for Easter yet, but you know, they are all up here, beautiful Easter lilies. You can order them. Someone gave me them this morning. I already got an order, so be sure to give it to me. You can put it on the offering plates, or you can drop it off tomorrow at the office, but that's the last day. We'll be taking orders. Saturday, April 12th, we'll be having an Easter egg hunt. You should have got a little invitation when you got your bulletin this morning. In the next few weeks, please bring candy, small toys, or stickers to help us fill Easter eggs so the kids can find them. As we have throughout the whole month of March, today we'll continue our special offering for Cook's Play School. If you wish to give to this ministry, please specify Play School on your checks and envelopes. You can place your offerings and offering plates right here, out before you leave, or there's a QR code in front of you that you can scan and give online. Thank you for supporting our mission here at Cook's Church. Now, please stand and say hello to a familiar face or someone that's not familiar.
Ministry called Kairos. You can't hear me? Is my mic on? We good now? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. He was on earlier. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Is that better?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Sorry about that. Good morning. My name is Clayton. I'm the music director here. In this past week, I had a wonderful opportunity. This church is involved in a prison ministry called Kairos. Kairos is the Greek word. There are two words in the Greek for time. One is chronos, where we get chronological. This one is kairos, which means God's special time. In this past week, me and a team of 30 guys went to Kershaw, and we stayed in the prison for 4 days. We slept in the church and went to the prison. And thank you so much for all of you who donated cookies. We took in over 37,000 cookies to the prison, and we have what's called a cookie run. There are 1,300 inmates, so every inmate got 2 dozen cookies that we were able to supply. And then we had 30 participants, and we were there for a great 4 days of fellowship and talks and worship and food. And thank you to everybody who donated cookies and to prayer. Every single minute of that 48 hours nonstop was bathed in prayer. Somebody was praying for us the whole time. So thank you for that and the blessings, and it was a tremendous time. So we'll give you some more updates on that further. Please join us as we do our first praise song, Let It Rise.
Songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh.
So enjoy, enjoy. Blessed be your name. Great song by Matt Redman. Every blessing you'll pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord,
still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain. Blessing you'll pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Our shepherd who calls us by name.
We hear his voice and follow where he leads.
He leads us to green pastures and still waters.
He restores our souls and walks with us in every valley.
In him we find life and abundant fullness.
Let us worship the good shepherd with joy and thanksgiving.
Let us continue in prayer.
Loving and faithful God, you call us by name and we know your voice. You lead us beside still waters, and in you we find rest for our weary souls. This morning we gather as your flock, grateful, expectant, and in need of your presence. Speak to us, good shepherd, guarding our hearts from all that steals, kills, and destroys within us. Remind us that we are yours, wholly yours, claimed, known, and beloved. As we worship, open our ears to hear, allow our hearts to receive, and our lives to follow you wherever you lead. In the name of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, our Savior, we pray. Amen. The Bible teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves, we're lying to ourselves, and that there is no truth in us. But the Bible goes on to give us great news. That if we are faithful and confess our sins, God, who is himself faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So it's with humility and with faith that we come before the Lord to declare our shortcomings, our shortfalls, those places where we fail. We do so trusting that we'll not encounter God's wrath or his indignation. But instead, in the embrace of his ways, we will encounter the fullness of his presence. So let us confess our sins using the words that are in this morning's bulletin, allowing a silent moment for ourselves to bring before the Lord our own shortfalls this week. Let us pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have said and done things we shouldn't and left good things undone. Forgive us, renew us, lead us in your ways through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And now comes the best part of the service, for some. The best part comes as we embrace the truth of what the Bible presents us, the New Testament especially, that God in Jesus Christ in the fullness of time took on human flesh and laid down his life for us and for our salvation. He truly is our good shepherd. And in him we find forgiveness of our sins and the freedom to be as God intended us to be, happy, joyous, and free. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now let us rise and sing what it is we believe.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death.
Seated. We've got some changes in our order for worship today, namely coming up right now, we would normally have the children's time. We're going to do the children's time at the end after the kids have sung. Also, we would have a musical selection here, but we are foregoing that because we've got that great musical selection at the end of our service with the kids singing to us. So we come forward now in our bulletins to a time of reading and proclaiming the Word of God. And here, as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that through this reading and proclaiming of your Word that you would speak afresh to us. God, deliver to us the news that we need to hear that will restore our parched souls. Allow us to hear a word today that will refresh us, restore us, renew us, and lead us more lovingly into your arms and away from the ways of the world. Bless us with your presence, using your Holy Spirit to awaken within us the desire to know you more deeply, to trust you more fulsomely, and to follow you wherever you will lead us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the ancient book of the Psalms, Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no thing. I say of the good people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Our New Testament reading sees us continue in the Gospel of John. And this particular passage comes on the heels of what I preached last week, which was about the man who was born blind and how Jesus Christ gave him his sight back. And in that, we talked about a number of things. But one of the things that we really looked at was the fact that these leaders of Israel, these people that were supposedly in the know, were dreadfully wrong about who Jesus was and what he meant to the people. And this oration of Jesus continues in that same vein. He is talking directly to the leaders of the Pharisees and the other Jewish legal people that were there and gathered around him. And this oration was designed for us to all hear some very, very good news on a lot of different levels. A lot of different levels. This story is about the way that the world gives to us and the way that the Lord gives to us. And if we think about those two things as being radically different as they truly are, we're going to understand this passage ever more clearly. So let me read it to you. I read now from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." You know, I want to begin by telling you two stories of two radically different outcomes, one from fiction, one from real life. The first one comes to us from that wonderful movie, A Christmas Story, which we all probably watch two or three times on Christmas Day. But if you'll remember the movie, aside from the Red Ryder BB gun shotgun that he absolutely wanted, there were other vignettes of what life was like for the kids in the 50s as they waited for Christmas. And one of the things that was brought about in the movie was the young man was saving up box tops for an Ovaltine decoder ring. Do you remember that? And how excited he was that he had finally gotten it in the mail, his Ovaltine decoder ring. And as the story goes, that was in the era where there were serials on the radio. And he was listening to the serial on the radio. And they got to the scene where they were going to use the decoder ring. And he is all agog and just so excited to be doing it. And he takes down every note or letter and translates them very slowly, expecting it to have some hidden message for him to act as a secret agent upon. And do you remember what it says? Drink more Ovaltine, is what it said. It was an advertising message. And even though that's a humorous way to kind of look at the way the world gives us, it does point us to the truth. That oftentimes the world makes claims about things that don't follow through and really leave us only more dejected and disappointed. The other story I tell you comes from real life, and it comes from a day doing something I gather a lot of you are getting used to doing, which is hanging out in the carpool line, right? If you haven't started that, you will pretty soon, coming up, a good number of you. And one day while I was in the carpool line, I caught sight of my daughter who was there in the distance, and you could tell already the brightness of her smile, the enthusiasm in her face. She had had something truly extraordinary happen to her. And it was, I was interested to find out what. And so she opens the car door, and the first words out of her mouth before I could even ask her was she said, "Daddy, today I had the best day ever." And you know, I'm thinking in my mind, what did you make a new friend? Did you do really well on a test? Although she was in kindergarten at the time, I don't think tests were too terribly difficult now that I think about it. But I had all sorts of wonders that I wanted to know what she was so excited about. And that's when she thrust her little hand into the front of the car and opened it up. And there in her hands were 3 pennies and a rock. And she said to me, she said, "Daddy, today I had the best day ever. On the playground, I found 3 pennies and a rock." It captured for me the kind of joy that childhood can bring to us, where we get thrilled over the littlest things in life. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, "Come to me as a child." And for sure, this is one of the reasons why, is that children listen and obey. Well, I shouldn't say this to a bunch of parents. Children listen and obey a little more easily sometimes than adults. But that might be challenged by some of y'all, I recognize. But what Jesus is talking about is 2 radically different outcomes. If we follow the ways of the world and listen to those voices, then we're bound to end up dejected and depleted. If, however, we listen and follow the word of the Lord, we're going to find ourselves living with more of that joy that my daughter was experiencing that day, but we'll be experiencing it not as a naive child, but as an adult, and it'll be even sweeter. Bless you. We come and realize that if we get involved with the wrong group, that our outcome will not be as sublime. And speaking to parents, I do need to point this out, that the data is all there. The data shows that children raised in a faith tend to have far better outcomes as a group than kids that don't. That is to say that as we teach our children and follow ourselves the Lord's commands more and more, we're going to grow in confidence, decrease in anxiety, and find ourselves filling with the kind of joy that we want more than anything in the world. But sometimes we get in with the wrong crowd, don't we? We get in with the wrong decision making. I'll never forget being about 11 years old going to the Winthrop basketball camp. And we got off the buses from the trip from Charlotte to Rock Hill, and they separated us into 2 groups. And if I had been paying attention, I would have recognized very early on that I was in the wrong group, because I was in the group with the really tall, older kids. And that didn't seem to make sense to me. But we had to lug our suitcases all the way to this dorm. And when we got there, one of the counselors looked at me and said, "You're in the other group. You need to go over there." And over there was like what looked to be like a mile and a half walk with my bag. It was pretty miserable. But it goes to show that when you get in with the wrong group or you start following the wrong voices, you're going to find some distress or trouble in your life. That's what we talk about in the church when we talk about sin. We're not here to pick on anybody. We're just here to point out that there are some fundamental discongruencies between ourselves and the way we live and the way that God would have us live. And what this passage is showing us is that the more and more we're able to listen to the voice of the shepherd, that the better and better things will become. I think sometimes we've got to realize that as Jesus talks to us in the Gospel of John, he uses these I am statements on several occasions. We've talked in the past in the sermon series about signs and how the Jesus' actions in the Gospel of John aren't referred to as miracles, but rather signs. Signs because they point to some way that Jesus transcends his humanity. They point to the fact that Jesus is both man and God through these signs. But there are also these I am statements, which link us back with Genesis, where God declares that he is who he shall be. I am who I will be. And that in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes these I am statements. And here he makes several. He says, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. And these are very important images for us to gather. Now, a lot of it requires us knowing a little something about what raising sheep is like, which I think to a lot of charlatans is probably going to be a little foreign. It is to me. But sheep, unfortunately, if we were to really understand it, aren't terribly intelligent creatures, to be honest. And if we realize that that's the dominant metaphor that the Bible uses for us, we might find our pride knocked down on just a little bit. But sheep, as it would turn out, do have some interesting qualities. They follow very easily. As a matter of fact, in slaughterhouses, what they have is they have a Judas goat. That's a goat that knows the way to the slaughterhouse that they put in with the sheep to guide them there so that they won't complain. Sheep are very, very trusting and sometimes very, very dumb. And that's why we need to... But I should say, they have the ability to discern voices. And that's why Jesus has talked about the gate and the sheepfold. Now, at the end of the day, in first century shepherding, a group of shepherds would put their sheep together in a sheep pen that was guarded by a gate. What Jesus is saying is he is the gate into the sheepfold, which is where safety is. And so that if we're going to find safety, real safety, the kind that we yearn for in our hearts, we're going to find it only in and through Jesus Christ. But that also we get that Jesus is telling us to be good followers of him as well, which we shouldn't miss. Sheep, as I said, aren't very good, but they do understand, aren't very smart, but they do listen to voices very well. And so at the end of the period of time where the sheep would be contained, the shepherds would merely call out their names of their sheep. They didn't have many, as you would think. And their sheep would come to their voice. Isn't that comforting to know? Isn't that comforting to know that no matter how the world speaks to us or how loudly it clamors in our lives, that we merely have to hear Jesus' voice and we will respond. This Jesus that knows us completely, totally, and intimately. And we shouldn't overlook that there is a hired hand out there. And this is what the passage is talking about when it talks about the hired hand not being a very good shepherd. What it means is that the hired hand has no real investment in the sheep. What this tells us about Jesus is that Jesus has an ultimate knowledge and investment in his sheep. That the Bible teaches us that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ took on human flesh and laid down his life for us and for our salvation. And the Bible teaches us also that that is the greatest example of love that we can be shown, to lay down our lives for our friends. And that's exactly what Jesus does for us, doesn't he? That's what this passage tells us, is that Jesus took upon himself our sin so that we might die to it and live to righteousness, which is what Jesus Christ is telling us to do. And he's calling us right now because he knows his sheep and his sheep know me. At first glance, this sounds both tender and pastoral, and it is, but it's deeply theological because Jesus equates his knowledge of us to his knowledge of the Father. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus' knowledge of the Father is sublime, eternal, intimate, and always yielding the best. And so we recognize that as God knows us, we are really, truly known. Just as the Father and Son are of one essence, their relationship is eternal, perfect, and intimate. Jesus is saying his knowledge of us carries that same depth and personal relational integrity. This is knowledge not as data. This is knowledge as devotion, not as information, but as intimacy. God knows us completely. Can you imagine that? Think about that for a moment. That there's one who knows everything about you, knows all your strengths and weaknesses, knows all your personal foibles and your shortcomings, knows all the ways that the world has harmed you and that you're hiding those injuries from the world. He knows of your strengths and your successes. He knows of your successes and your failures, even the ones that you won't talk about. And yet, Jesus Christ loves us. He loves us despite of ourselves sometimes. That's what Romans teaches us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, which means that we don't have to come to God like he's an employer to give us to give him our bona fides. We don't go to God and say, here is my resume, God. Here is my strengths and my weaknesses. Here's the gap in my resume I'd like you to overlook. Here is the shortcoming that I've tried to hide from everybody. We don't treat God like that. God, who knows us completely and intimately, invites us into relationship with him. And it's a relationship that is special and holy because it is one that was preordained before the foundations of the earth. The Bible tells us and teaches us that before there was time, God knew you and called your name out and inscribed it in the book of life. And you know that why? You know that because you believe in Jesus Christ, which is the only marker for salvation that the Bible gives us. Romans teaches us that if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, the Bible tells us we will be saved. God makes very easy terms for us to come to him. And they begin with the awareness that we're not God, that he, our good shepherd, is, and that he is the one that leads us and guides us forever and ever and ever. Jesus' knowledge is about us, and he doesn't turn away. He doesn't recoil. He doesn't reject. He doesn't reassess your worth. Instead, he chooses to draw closer. Psalm 139 reads, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all my ways. The good shepherd sees the whole sheep, not just the wool the others admire, but also the burrs stuck in the fleece, the limp from an old wound, the stubborn streak that won't go away. And still, he's calling you. He loves you. Jesus says, I know my sheep. And what this means to us is where others see you as a burden, I see you as deeply beloved. That's how God sees us. In fact, it's in the Gospel of John that Jesus himself tells us that we're his friends, that we're to be the ones that are to be his hands and feet. The beautiful paradox of faith is that God knows us completely, and yet he invites us into relationship with him because he knows that's what's best for us, that we were created to be in relationship with him, that it has been preordained that we would be, and that God will never leave us, that he merely calls out our name and we respond, don't we? Because he is our shepherd and we know whose is ours and who is ours eternally, and that's none other than Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We, in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the Lord the concerns that weigh upon our hearts. The Bible says to cast all our anxieties on him, Jesus, and we do that as we make our prayers to the world, on behalf of the world and on behalf of others that we love. So let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them as well. In humility and in faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. You are indeed a good God, merciful and just. Your word has taught us that you are our good shepherd, that you laid your life down for us, and that you have made substitutionary atonement. Where we were sinners, Christ was not. Where his triumph is, ours becomes. Because Christ, being victorious over sin and death, leads us to the promised land, eternal life in the kingdom of God. And it's as we wait here, we do so with the trust of those believers that truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make prayers for those who we hope and pray for today. We pray especially for Jack McClure and Marcia Sifford. We pray for Ezra Petit and Pam Crosby. We pray for Patty Brown, and we pray for Nancy Smith. We continue our prayers for all of the wildfire victims, as well as all the hurricane victims that are still struggling in North Carolina and beyond. We pray for all of the names on our prayer list, and we make those names known silently in our hearts of those cares that we bring before you now. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We now will have the kids come and we will celebrate them. It may take a moment for them to be with us. Right. Well, let me say this to our preschool parents. What a joy it is every day to see you guys arrive and to bring your precious little bundles of joy that have grown up into these wonderful little kids. You know, Cook's Play School has a history of producing kids that are ready to go to school, that are socially developed, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, where our real joy comes from, is that these kids are being steeped not only in how to relate to each other and how to play together in school, and we'll be preparing them for success. They also are getting a good foundation in what it means to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him with all that we have. Here they come.
Okay, y'all got all yours up there?
Tighten up.
Okay, tighten up a little bit.
Tighten up. Slide a little bit.
All right, step line. Okay. Stagger. Yeah, stagger a little bit. Okay. Cooks Church, thank you so much for having us here today. We hope and pray we will sing for you as good as we've been singing in there. So without further ado, we do appreciate the church having us here. And we thank all of our wonderful Play School parents for bringing your children. And we're going to sing.
Yep, here we go. We ready?
Okay, Sebastian, can you move your hands? Come out a little bit. Okay.
Jesus, I'm
and girls, remember we're going to sit down and Miss Alyssa's going to come tell us a story. So everybody just sit where you are. You sit down and Miss Alyssa's going to tell us a story. Good job.
Right. I got to get my... Can you sit down? Can you sit right here? Look, you sit right here. Good morning, friends. How are y'all?
Good.
Good. Y'all did so well, at least most of you. You didn't sing. Okay, you can sit right here. Okay, this is Oakley's normal church, so she is very shocked about all the people. All right. So in church today, we talked about a shepherd. Do you know what a shepherd is?
Yes.
What's a shepherd?
A shepherd keeps.
You got it?
Sheep.
What does a sheep say? Ah, that's right. There's a picture right up there if you can see it. That's a shepherd. He keeps sheep. All right, how many of you have pets? Do you have pets?
No.
You have a pet?
Dog.
You have a dog? You have lots of dogs. All right. Well, Oakley has a dog, too. Do you want to see a picture of our dog?
Yes.
That's Bubba. That's Ralph. That's our dog. So Ralph, he knows Oakley's voice. He knows... That's your Bubba. That's right. He knows my voice. He knows my husband's voice. If we call him, he comes most of the time. That's right. Because he recognizes us, and he maybe wants some food.
Bubba
does have a boo-boo. Okay. He knows that we care about him, and we'll take care of him. In a tiny way, this is a little bit like being a shepherd. If Ralph didn't follow our voice, he would run away. He would get lost, and he definitely wouldn't get any treats. I know, baby. In our scripture today, Jesus compared himself to a shepherd. We are like his sheep. We're wandering around, and we need guidance. We can trust in Jesus to provide and protect us. Do you know what Jesus sounds like? Do you know how you can learn what he sounds like? You can pray to him, and you can read your Bible. And you can sing songs like you just did to learn what Jesus sounds like. So if we learn the voice of Jesus, we listen to him, and we continue to follow him, he will guide us. He is our good shepherd. Can we thank God for that? Will you pray with me? All right, say after me, okay? Dear God,
thank you
for being the shepherd.
Help us
to know your voice.
Help us
to listen to your voice.
Thank you for guiding us.
Amen.
Thank
you, friends. And parents, a little bit of a change in schedule here. The littles decided not to come out for children's time because they were having fun and finally all calm. So you can pick them up after church in the nursery.
Anybody amongst the crowd. We would greatly appreciate that.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.
With motion, so we're just going to follow the kids.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
One more time.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
The prayer room is open. If you have a prayer that you need answered, go behind the sanctuary and meet in the prayer room.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, thank you.